Well, I'm thankful to be here today, thankful for the privilege of knowing the Lord, thankful that the Lord was willing to allow each of us to be exposed to His Word.
Yes.
That the Lord loved each of us to the point that He gave His life when He didn't have to, that He paid for the sins that all of us have in our lives, made provision that all of us could be saved, that we could have a place in His family, and peace in our hearts, and a hope.
Thank you, Lord.
The gospel is a gospel of hope, isn't it?
Yes, amen.
We find that in the gospel there are many places that convict us, that challenge us, maybe catch us up short, but there's always hope with that, because the Lord made a way for all of us to be at peace with Him. And I'm thankful for that. I have what I consider a fairly large subject that's been on my heart and mind, more than what I can bring out this morning, so I won't try to bring it all out this morning. Maybe, Lord willing, this will be a two-part message or lesson. The thought that I have on my heart is understanding and dealing with temptation. It's something that is applicable to all of us. We all live in a world and have a life where temptation is real. And the Lord has a way for us to be successful in temptation. So I'd like to start in the fourth chapter of Matthew and begin to set a foundation, fourth chapter of Matthew, in the first verse. This is an account of the temptation of Christ. And just previous to this account, we find that Jesus was baptized. And do you remember what happened right immediately after Jesus was baptized? You remember what happened right out there in the water?
The Spirit descended like a dove.
The Spirit of the Lord descended like a dove. And I think it said, it lit on Him. We can just read it. Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So just prior to the temptation of Christ, Jesus had been baptized. This was the start of His ministry. And the Spirit of the Lord came down upon Him. And I believe that Jesus went forth with the Spirit of God in Him at the beginning of His ministry. Now, I'm not saying He didn't have the Spirit of the Lord before that, because Jesus and the Spirit and God, they're one, aren't they? He is God. Jesus said, "If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father." But it strikes me that at this point, it said the Spirit descended from heaven. Jesus came in the form of a man, didn't He? And the Spirit was upon Him. And we'll come back to that, but I want us to capture that moment in our minds. And it said, then, so immediately after that, the Scripture says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward a hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, "If Thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh Him up into the holy city, and setteth Him on a pinnacle of the temple, saith unto Him, "If Thou be the Son of God, cast Thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So I'd like us, I wanted to start with that because we'll come back to that. I'd like to also remember the verse in the 24th chapter of Matthew and the 12th verse. It says, Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because iniquity shall abound, I believe this was Jesus talking. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Now I'd like to start by thinking about the Lord said when iniquity shall abound. If there ever was a time when iniquity was abounding, it's today, isn't it? Do you think it's getting better? Does anybody here think that the world's getting better? You think that we're becoming a more moral, God-fearing world? I don't think so. I don't either. Iniquity is abounding. And it seems to me that there are, and I know I'm young, I'm 43 years old, and to several of you that are here today, I probably seem quite young. But I've lived long enough to see change. I've lived long enough to see shifts in the world that we live in. And those of you that have lived longer have seen even more of that take place. We live in a time of wickedness. We live in a time when more and more of the time right is being called wrong and being called into question. And that used to be viewed and looked at as right by both the world and by the Christian world, both, is now being called into question. Many things are. We live in a time when more and more people don't want there to be absolutes. I believe we've preached about that here before. We don't like absolutes. Why? What does an absolute bring? If you agree that there is an absolute, that in fact this is wrong, what does it bring with it? It brings accountability. Accountability comes with that. And I think we live in a world where people don't want to be held accountable to something that they don't want to live by. The Scripture brings the gospel to us. It's a wonderful gospel. It's a gospel that is intended to lift us up. It's a gospel that is intended to bring us closer to the Lord. And yet it is at variance with the flesh. And so we live in a time where more and more, even the Bible itself, it's an opinion, it's a book, it's something to consider, it's a book among books. We live in a time where iniquity abounds. And Jesus said, when iniquity abounds, because iniquity abounds, the love of many is going to wax cold. And when I think about that, the love of many waxing cold, I think about a time where fewer and fewer people are willing to truly follow Jesus. Where fewer and fewer people have a love for the Lord that causes them to get up in the morning and want to follow the Lord completely and wholly. We live in a time where people want to go their own way and still profess Christianity. We live in a time where people want to live however they want to live. But they still want to profess, wasn't it Isaiah, maybe in the fourth chapter? It talked about those that want to eat their own bread, wear what they want to wear, do what they want to do, but they want to be named to take away their reproach. And I feel like we live in that time. We live in that time today where it's like that. It's iniquity is abounding. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were bringing out the point, this ISIS that's out there today has people that are signing up for it, wicked organization, sinful organization, and these people are willing to give their lives. Didn't we just read this past weekend that these guys in France had said they wanted to die martyrs? They were willing to give their life for wrong. You see where we've come? You see how we've come in this full circle where people now feel so strongly about wrong, they're willing to give their life for it. I know that's the extreme, and there's people at all levels. But how about this? How about today we resolve to give our lives for Jesus? What's wrong with that? Why can't we this morning resolve, I'm not going to let the iniquity that is around in the world today move me off center. I want to give my life for Jesus. I want to get up in the morning and I want to say, Lord, what is it that Thou wouldst have me to do? Lord, I want to know how You want me to live. I want You to know. I want to know how You want me to walk. Lord, I don't want the iniquity that's abounding around me to cause my love for You to wax cold. I don't want to be separated from You, Lord. Did you know that sometimes you look back in periods of life where great wickedness abounded? Look at during the time of the Romans, when so many were having to give their lives. I'm not talking about in the Roman time of the gospel. I'm talking about a couple hundred years ago, 200 or 300 years ago. There was great movements of people that drew closer to the Lord when iniquity abounded. That doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to cause us to have to go away from the Lord. In this time world, we can draw closer to the Lord. This can be a time that our love can get stronger and stronger. And I want the Lord to be able to look upon me and look upon you and recognize a people whose love is growing stronger for Him. Where we have the grace of God and the desire in our hearts to give our lives to Him and to follow after Him. Don't you want to be in that number? I don't want to be in the number of those where the iniquity that's abounding all around us is causing my love to grow cold. But there is iniquity all around us. And we have to recognize the truth of it and do something about it. We have to be a people who purpose in our hearts, like Daniel did. I'm not going to defile myself with this that the world has to offer. All around us are things that bring us, that would take us farther away from the Lord. Temptations, many temptations today are out there. I was thinking this morning about what leads to sin. Temptation is what leads to sin. Do you know that I think a lot of times that the enemy would like us to focus on the act of sin itself and say and have us say, I won't have any part of that. I am not going to let myself commit sin. And we get tangled up sometimes in, well, is this right? Or is this not right? People spend a lot of time sometimes trying to justify things and then telling themselves, I won't cross this line. And I feel like that if the enemy can get us just to focus on the sin itself, that is a ploy of the enemy to get us to walk down the road that leads to sin, and then people get caught up and they wonder how they ever got there. Don't you think that's happened? People wake up some days and they look around and say, how did this happen to me? How did I end up here? I never intended to get to the place that I'm in. Well, the enemy knows that. So if he can get us to focus on the moment of transgression and not have our eyes opened to the path, to the road that leads to the transgression,
yes, help us, Lord.
Then he many times can get people to go down a road that ends in a place they never intended to end. I was thinking about that passage in the 7th chapter of Proverbs. A very common passage. You remember about the account when the man looked out the window? I think he used the word casement. He looked out the window, and do you remember what it said he beheld? Anybody? 7th chapter of Proverbs? What did he beheld? He beheld someone among the simple, that's what he called it. A youth, void of understanding. Remember that story? This was a man that was watching out, that knew a little bit of something about life. He knew a little bit about something about the road. And he said he beheld a man, or he said a youth, a man in his youth, simple, void of understanding, that was getting ready to pass by the way of one that was going to get him in trouble. He recognized he never should have gone down that road. And I thought about this. It didn't say that he looked out his window and watched the transgression take place and then say, well, he must have been somebody that was simple, void of understanding, didn't understand what was going on. That's not what it said. He recognized that there was a problem before the moment of transgression ever took place. Why? Because he saw that he was getting ready to walk down a path that was going to lead to trouble. Now, we can all surmise what may or may not have been going through that man's mind. He knew what was down there, I believe. I believe many times we know what is potentially down the road that we get ready to go down. But we tell ourselves sometimes, I can handle that. We tell ourselves, there's good reason for me to go down this road. We have many good reasons to do the wrong thing. I think. We tell ourselves. We convince ourselves that. And then we place ourselves and point ourselves in a direction, and we can go down the road, and maybe when he started down the road, he never intended for it to end like it ended. No doubt, heartache many times for many people. I don't want to go down that road. I want to have my eyes open. I want to be not in the number of those void of understanding. So I want us to think about that a little bit this morning. And now I'd like us to think about a verse in the first chapter of James. There's always something that comes prior to sin. Sin is what separates us from God, right? Sin is what keeps us out of heaven. Sin is what causes us to miss our home in heaven. But sin doesn't just happen. Sin, we don't wake up one day and just all of a sudden discover, oh my, I sinned. There's something that leads up to that. And what leads up to that is temptation. We're tempted before we sin. And we'll read about that. And so my burden this morning is if we can have our eyes open to the roads that leads to sin, we can head it off at the pass. We can minimize that time of risk so that we never get to the point where we engage in the act that separates us from God. So in the first chapter of James, and we can turn there, and the 12th verse, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." That's the 12th verse. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." So I'd like for us to understand this a little bit. The scripture here says that every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Do you think that any of us are exempt from temptation? It's kind of a rhetorical question. Anybody here? If you are, if you could raise your hand, I'd like to talk with you after service and find out how you got to the place where you are, because I'd like to get there too. Maybe not in this time world. All of us face temptation, don't we? There is not a man or woman that is spiritual enough, but that they won't be tempted. Temptation is common to man. And we started out this morning reading out of the 4th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus Himself, the Son of God, was tempted. We'll be tempted. And I want to make this point. Temptation is not sin. Temptation is not sin. I believe many times the enemy would like to take advantage of us and discourage us and get us down when we're tempted and try to accuse us. Well, if you're a Christian, you wouldn't have been tempted with that. If you were a Christian, if you really had the Spirit of God, you would not have had that thought pass through your mind. Do you notice I said pass through your mind, not pass and take up its abode and rent space? All of us are tempted at times. And the enemy, we want to be wise to the way that the enemy works. And we want to have an understanding of the difference between temptation and sin. There's a difference. Yes. And I believe sensitive Christians sometimes are taken advantage of the devil and discouraged because they mix up temptation and sin. The scripture says every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So I live a life where there are things that entice my flesh. Is there anything out there that entices your flesh? There are. I'll answer for you. There are many things in the world that can entice your flesh that are not things of God. That if you let it take its normal course without intervention, you would find yourself engaged in activities, in things that are not of God. When iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. Iniquity is abounding, and it seems to me like the temptations that are out in the world today are doing nothing except increasing. I look at our youth of today. They have more temptations, more things at their disposal, right in front of them, a click away, than we ever have when we were young people. The temptations just continue to grow. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And so I can go along, something can come my way, and it can entice me. And I'm attracted to it and it captures my attention. Or it could be a thought. It could be a wrong thought in my mind. But what does the scripture say? Every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And what does it say then? And when lust hath conceived. What does it mean for lust to conceive? Did you know that there is a difference between having a temptation pass through our minds and our hearts and a temptation that comes and passes by and we say, whoa, hold up. And we give it space and we give it room in our lives. That's where the difference is. Because it says, when lust hath conceived, that's when it brings forth sin. It's not every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and sins. When we are enticed and when lust conceives, what does it take for a plant to grow? If somebody comes along and puts a seed in the ground right where your beautiful flower bed is, and as soon as you see that thing come up, you go, wait a minute, I didn't plant that there. Where did that come from? Have you ever been surprised with what grows in your own flower beds? You know that sometimes you'll be surprised what sprouts up in your own life. And you say, did that come out of me? Did that come out of my mouth? Did I really just do that? Have you ever been there, or is that just me? I feel somewhat on safe ground because Brother Austis used to tell the example when he did that. And maybe it was here that I related that a short time ago where he was sitting around a table and something came out of his mouth and it didn't sound very good. And he said, everybody around the table was shocked, including me. He was shocked with everybody else that it came out of his mouth. Well, there are things sometimes that sprout up in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, that surprise ourselves. And we say, where did that come from? How did that get there? I didn't know that that was there. And a lot of times the enemy likes to come right in and say, you must not have anything. You must not even be saved. Why, if you have that in your flower bed, Christians don't have that. That's not right. And you're like, I did, it's taken me by surprise. I didn't know that was even there to come up. Temptation. It comes along. Sin comes when we allow it to conceive. So if I see something sprout up in my garden and I recognize, hey, that's a weed. Hey, that shouldn't be there. That's not what this garden is all about. But instead of plucking it out and saying, I'm not going to accept that. I refuse that to be here. And instead of pulling it out, getting rid of it and saying, good riddance, I'm going to do what I can to be on the watch for that sort of thing. Instead of doing that, if we say, well, you know, maybe that isn't so bad. Maybe we give it a little place. Maybe we clear out a little room for it. And we say, oh, I've got plenty of space for this other. I think this can be here. And we start watering it. We give it some nourishment. We give it place. We give it room. It starts to conceive. It starts to grow. That is what turns into sin. Because now we knew to do good, but we didn't do good. Does that make sense? I want to have my eyes open to that. I don't want things that come through my life, things that I'm exposed to that is unlike God. I want to recognize it quickly. I want to have my eyes of understanding open to see and to know what this is. Hey, that's not supposed to be here. That does not belong in my garden. That's not what I planted. That's not consistent. This thought, this action, this behavior, this activity, it's not consistent with what the life of a Christian is. I want to have my eyes open to that because if I don't, then those things can come up and we we move over, we give it space, it starts to grow, it starts overtaking in ways we never expected it to. Kathy and I were talking earlier this week about unintended consequences. That's a whole other message. Unintended consequences. I wonder if this man, void of understanding in the 7th chapter of Proverbs, I wonder if he had some unintended consequences of going down a road he should have just stayed away from. Do you know there's a lot of roads out there that we ought to just stay away from? There's a lot of things that the world presents before us. There are a lot of things the enemy presents to our minds that we should not give it space. We shouldn't give it space. And I will just say right here, do you know why the saints, our church family, hold some of the standards that we hold? It's because we don't want to head down a road that presents to us temptation all around us that is unnecessary temptation. Why would we go put ourselves in a place of unnecessary temptation when temptation is what leads to sin? Or unnecessary temptation that while I may feel like I can handle it, can my children handle it? Can those that follow my example, would they be able? Is there some temptation here that would cause them a problem? Because remember, our commission this morning is to take the gospel into the world. God wants us to go out and be an example and a light for Him. He wants others to be able to look at our lives and follow our example so that they can make it to heaven. We don't, Brother Edgar mentioned, we don't live unto ourselves this morning. We affect other people, the decisions we make, the roads that we go down. People are watching and people follow. And so we want to make decisions this morning. We want to make decisions with the understanding in mind that the Lord wants us to avoid temptation that can be avoided, not to give it place. We're all going to be tempted. We're all going to come across things in life that entice us. That's not sin. Don't let the enemy take advantage of you with that. But do something about it. Don't give it place. Every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust, and when lust hath conceived. We want to not allow temptation and wrong to conceive in our hearts and our minds. He goes on here and he says, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. I want to live my life carefully. I want to live my life with the purpose when I get up in the morning. Lord, how can I live so that You'll be pleased with my life?
Yes.
Lord, how can I live today so that I don't put myself in places that could compromise my standing with You? Lord, help me to understand those things that draw me and entice me. And help me, Lord, to make sound decisions. Help me to have the grace in my heart. Lord, would You fill me with Your Spirit from heaven? Lord, would You come down and would You descend upon my life with Your Holy Spirit as You did the Lord after He was baptized, so that when I go from here and the enemy comes and presents me with temptation, that I will be armed with the Spirit and with the Word. We're not going to get through the 4th chapter this morning, but did you see that every time that the enemy began to tempt the Lord, many times the enemy used Scripture. Do you notice that? To tempt the Lord, he used Scripture. Well, this is Scripture. Well, this is good. This is the Gospel. This is what the Bible says. You should do this. But what did the Lord do in return? He used Scripture too. He came back and He had truth to rightly divide the word of truth. And He had the Spirit. You remember when Jesus said, when he told his disciples, he said, I have to go away from you so that I can send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, and He'll teach you and lead you and guide you into all truth and bring to your remembrance whatsoever things I've said unto you. Saints, it's imperative this morning that we be filled with the Spirit. That's why I wanted to bring that out before we read the fourth chapter. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. And not only was He filled with the Spirit, but He was armed with the Word of God. May we all this morning have a regular, healthy diet of reading the Word and getting understanding of the Word so that we can have the Word to battle the enemy during times of temptation, and that we be filled with the Spirit, that we understand that we need the Spirit to help us have the strength and the grace and to bring to our remembrance, yes, but the Bible says this. Yes, but the Word says this. So that we can be led into truth, and that when we get to the end, we can look back and have the angels minister to us and comfort us and bring us into a more wealthy place than we were before, as opposed to giving in to the temptation. I know this is just a start this morning, but may we all be encouraged to have our eyes open, to live close to the Lord, to have a desire in our hearts, to give our lives to Him and not put ourselves in places and conditions that make us vulnerable or others vulnerable that are watching us. I believe the Lord will be faithful to us. The Lord's not trying to catch us. The Lord's not trying to slip something in on us to try to cause us to sin, to say, oh, well, you sinned, now you're cut off. The Lord is there to help forgive us of our sins, to give us grace, to give us help, to give us victory, to pick us up when we fall down. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father to make propitiation for us. When we fail, we serve a wonderful God that is on our side this morning, that has a vested interest in our welfare. I'm thankful for that. I want to be challenged to press on for the Lord, to give Him my heart and give Him my life. Amen.